Welcome to hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show. My name's Bob Look, sitting in for Chad all week long with the music of Maynard Ferguson and his orchestra. Some of you people are going, "Who is Maynard Ferguson?" Well, he used to always, they used to call him the world's greatest trumpet player. And I play a lot of his music, even in my house, even to this day. He passed away several years ago. But in the early 70s, when I was still in high school, he made playing music in high school cool. Because nice. His band was, they were just, I was clinicked by his band twice when I was in high school. Alberno College was one of them, and the other one was, Southside High School in the Milwaukee area. But anyway, I do that in homage to him because I think he did more to promote music back then and make it cool to be a musician.
Aww.
So
awesome.
That's why you're hearing that. And plus they told me that I should bring my own music for doing the subbing for Chad, even though, Chad has his, set music deals. And so he says, "Well, what music would you like to have?" And so I just threw a whole bunch of them at you guys. So, and you came through. So thank you very much. Makes me feel good.
Nothing wrong with changing up the music once in a while.
People are going like, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on here? Oh, my God. Don't worry, folks. Chad will be back in 1 week's time. Mm-hmm. He might be back earlier from what I've seen on Facebook. Some of his.
He's taking some much-needed time off.
Yes, but he's taking time. He's taking time off doing something that I know for me, I would tend to be a little bit more uptight about. Or, a little bit more edgy doing, but it's what he loves to do, so more power to him. Anyway, 715-382-9297, that's the phone number you can get a hold of us here, or if you like to text us with something, you're more than welcome to. I found this quote on X. Or Twitter, however you want to go with it. Mm-hmm. And I saw this quote and I said, this is one of these things that I get a chuckle out of because I know that the person who wrote this is kind of like thinking as myself, and that is always look for the joke or look for a sarcasm to make a point.
Okay.
And so I saw this quote from John Fugelsang is his name. He has a talk show on Sirius satellite radio. And he has this quote and says, "The way things are going nowadays, there are a whole lot of people that have this as their motto. Science is fake, but pro wrestling is real."
I can't tell if you're being serious or sarcastic with that.
Well,
I watch a little bit of pro wrestling. I don't watch a lot, but I watch a little bit. And it's kind of hard to tell when it's fake and when it's real. Because I know that I am an actor. And I know how.
And you are akin to professional wrestlers. You are either a character you're playing, and I'm not going to sit there and
character definitely.
I'm not going to downplay that these people who do this are not athletes. They are.
They are athletes, but they're also, playing these different characters, and they're actually doing it. I want to say all the time they're doing it well. Most of the time, it's actually pretty good acting.
Yeah. But it's one of those little comments that he put down there, and he wrote it down. And I just thought I'd share it with you. So I don't know what your thoughts of that, but one of my many jobs I had before my broadcast career got rolling, I was a bodyguard for professional wrestlers.
Really?
Back in Milwaukee when the old American Wrestling Association, the AWA, would have, like, once every 4 weeks, they'd have a show at, most of the times at the Milwaukee Auditorium, which is adjacent to the Mecca Arena.
Okay.
Because that would seat like about a little over 6,000. But then when they wanted to have a really big show at the Mecca, and they could put in like 11,000, 12,000 people, then they would utilize that building. And I worked for a security company. And this is part-time work. But I worked for a security company that 1 year, and they had the contract to do the body, we weren't full protection, but we were, I guess what you could say, it would be a deterrent from having any of the other folks who at that time in the early era, in the early to mid 70s, the vast majority of people who were going to the shows thought this was real.
The way that they throw themselves on the tables and themselves off the ring. Yeah. And
you know how chairs. To fall. You know how to fall. You know how to take, like the wrestlers say, to take a bump.
I think in theater, we call that a pratfall.
A pratfall, right.
Of course, in my experience, I like to do things all the way. So a lot of times the falls that I do are real, and I end up hurting myself. I have the scars to prove it.
And I'm not telling you that it doesn't hurt to when you fall on that mat, or when it hurts. But they are taught how to fall, to spread out the pain and spread out the point. You don't want to fall on a corner, like your shoulder or a hand. Or an ankle or a knee, you want to fall where the whole body like takes the brunt of it. And yes, it's jarring, but the point being is they're athletes too, and they're performers, and I salute them. But when I was doing the bodyguard work, I think we had better physical conflicts outside the ring between us and the and the wrestling fans, because there was nobody's pulling any punches there. But I did that for a bit of time, and made good money back then. I was getting paid like about $27 an hour. This was 1973-74, somewhere in there.
That's actually a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But then when I get home and my shirt, would have like beer stains, eggs, sometimes blood, and it's usually whoever we had to take care of to make sure that they didn't create any problems.
That wasn't your own blood; it was someone else's.
Yeah,
blood.
Fortunately, I got through without really not hurting my. I injured an elbow a little bit, trying to move a guy off of a pile of people. And but yeah, you did it. Yeah. Do the job. But I'm not here to point at pro. I have the utmost respect for what they do, but I get a kick out of when people still to this day, even though the industry of professional wrestling has basically admitted this is for entertainment, this is this guy is not an axe murderer, okay? This is for show. 715-382-9297. Yeah, I got used to work with the Crusher and the Bruiser. Bobby Heenan, Nick Bockwinkel, Ray Stevens, classic, Baron Von Raschke.
Classic wrestlers.
Yeah, nice. Well, we're talking a long time ago.
Yeah.
You're talking, a few moons ago, but that was a fun, it was a fun job. But what was really cool is when I was doing that. Mm-hmm. Now here I was, even back then I was, big guy, big in size, and I could, you know, jump over the railings, and I could move really good. I could do cartwheels.
Ooh.
I did them, you know, all the way until I was in my mid-30s.
Okay.
And so then the pro wrestlers got kind of looking at me like, hey, this guy can move pretty good for a big guy. And the next thing you know, they're talking to me about this school where they can teach you how to be a professional wrestler and all that. And I was like, you know, right at this fork in the road where I wanted to go, you know, move forward with my broadcast career or go to Minnesota where they teach me how to be a professional wrestler and do that. There's a fork in the road.
That's a big decision.
Yeah, it was. And I made the decision, no, I'm going to go into my broadcasting career. I don't want to be a bleach blonde. And I want to be able to walk. I want to be able to, you know, function normally without bumping my life away. But everyone has their stories, and that was one of the decisions.
I believe you made the right choice.
I think so. Hey, you know, I'm still around.
I could never be a wrestler.
A lot of the people I was protecting aren't around anymore. So, anyway, we'll continue with more here on the Chad Holmes Show. 715-382-9297. Give us a call. Drop us a text if you'd like, and we'll be back with more after this. Chad Holmes Show on this Monday morning. My name's Bob Look, and we thank you for tuning in here. On this, it's turned out to be a really nice day. It's a sunny day. I'm looking out the windows here at the Bull Falls Radio studio here, and other than the 25-foot deep crater, that's where the mall used to be.
It was like an asteroid just hit.
Yeah,
here.
It's like looks
thankfully
like
it didn't, because it'd take a while to move it if they actually did.
Yeah, they're you know, digging, you know, then get whatever they're doing. I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing something. But they're doing their construction. In fact, Chad warned me that the possibility of construction crews really tearing into the stuff across the street would create a little bit of a noise problem. I go, heck, you know. Well, I told you that story about this radio station in Peoria, Illinois, that I was program director for, where a tornado ripped the roof off, and we had, you know, rain damage in the main studio. We had to operate everything out of the.
That's absolutely terrifying.
We had to do all the shows and that out of the production room because that wasn't wet equipment. We were like afraid. Oh. With all that electricity and all that stuff to try to do that. But yeah, with so obviously they had to build the roof and ceiling while we were doing our air shifts, which was.
How long did that take?
Well, they took about a couple of weeks, two, three weeks to get it done correctly. And
well, it's not so bad.
No, but still, you know.
I thought it would take like an entire year to do that.
Well, you know, the building wasn't a huge building, you know.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of like this, you know. It wasn't a huge building, but enough that when a tornado and high winds just tear the roof off of it, you kind of notice that.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Anyway, 715-382-9297 is the number. Hey, what I have planned right now here in the early stages tomorrow on the program. In the 9 o'clock hour, we are going to have a guest, and we're going to have guests during that particular time period in each day's show that do a similar job.
Yeah.
Do something, you know, that we are aware of. But the thing is, you don't know, maybe the person who's doing this. One of the jobs that I've been fortunate enough to be given an opportunity to do, and one of them in particular, is with the University of Wisconsin. And it's the Wisconsin men's Badger hockey team. And I've been the public address announcer at the Kohl Center since 1998. Since the Kohl Center opened, in fact. Yeah. Now, that's, you know, that was cool. But I always get a kick out of where people will show up at the Kohl Center, especially people who either know me and that, and all of a sudden they'll hear my voice and they'll go, Is that Bob? And then I say, yeah, I do. How long have you been doing that? Well, long time. But I went to a food store for my brother in Madison. I was down there doing the hockey games on the weekend. And I go at a grocery store. So I'm just picking up some things for my brother. Since I says, hey, I'm going to be around there. You want me to do a little shopping for you? Yeah, I pick up this. So I can pick it up. So I'm going through the checkout. Mind you.
Okay.
And, you know, and the lady, you know, goes, oh, that'll be $22.50. Okay, something like that. And I go, oh, okay. And I said, you want cash or can I do a card? And she goes, and she looked at me and said, oh, you could do a card if you'd like. And then okay. She just started staring with me and she goes, do I know you? And I'm like, I don't believe we've ever met. I said, I know you from somewhere. I know you. Mm. Oh, well, you know, I'm just in town here. You know, I work hockey games. And she goes, that's it. You're the voice. You're the guy.
You're the guy with the voice. Yeah, that's you.
And I'm like, yeah, it's a voice. It's been with me, you know, virtually all my life. But so I was thinking, what I was going to do for this week. I invited my fellow PA announcers, public address announcers from various stadiums throughout the state of Wisconsin. So tomorrow, in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have our first guest. He's the current public address announcer for the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field.
Very cool.
Bill Jartz is his name. And all you Wausau folks who've been around a few years, Bill got his start in broadcasting, I believe, here in Wausau.
Nice.
Wausau Television. He was a newsman, and I wasn't around here that whole time, but I believe he started his television broadcasting career here in the Wausau area. Anyway, Bill Jartz will be our guest tomorrow during this 9 o'clock hour, and we're just gonna talk about how did you get the job?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've told the story before about how I get the job for Wisconsin, where I just made a cold call. They were in need of an announcer for just the first hockey game. They had somebody hired to do the season. Okay. Not me, but somebody else. So I just did that game, and after the game, the coach basically just said, no, we want this guy. And I've been there ever since. Hmm. Well, Bill's going to tell you about that. And also, being there at Lambeau Field, probably the cathedral
awesome.
Of sports venues.
It's magnificent.
I got to work one event at Lambeau Field. That was in 2006. That was when the Wisconsin men's hockey team played an outdoor game at Lambeau Field against Ohio State. Ooh. In 2006. And because I was the PA announcer, they dragged me along in there. And that's one of those highlights of my life, was to be in Lambeau Field and to get on the microphone in Lambeau Field. They used to have that commercial a while back where some guy gets up in the press box and he gets the PA, and, you know, I'm Lambeau Field, la, 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 Lambeau Field, you know, And then the security comes over and, you know, that's it, you buddy, come with us, you know. And I was kind of like living that fantasy right there, where I was doing the games in a Lambo. Well, anyway, Bill's going to be a guest with us tomorrow. And also, as we continue on with our people doing work, we got the Milwaukee Brewers public address announcer slated to join us this week, and others. So we'll get a little different perspective of the voices you hear, but you don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with more here on the show coming up after this. Music from Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and one of my favorite rock vocalists, David Clayton Thomas. He was a voice for Blood, Sweat, and Tears for a lot of their hits, and Canadian singer, by the way, just to let you know. Here on the Bull Falls Radio WXCO and Chad Holmes Show for this Monday morning, wanted to bring up just something a little bit more serious here. I've been probably pretty lighthearted today. I haven't been really poking my finger at anybody and being nasty. But I'm not being nasty here. I just want to read a little article from whizpolitics.com.
Okay.
And something that kind of scares me a little bit. And that's, the higher education landscape in Wisconsin is rapidly changing. Two more higher end dominoes have recently fallen at a private and public institution, and there's probably more to come because of declining enrollments and other issues. The University of Wisconsin Oshkosh Chancellor Andrew Levitt recently announced that the university's Fox City's campus will close in June of 2025 due to low enrollment. The sixth two-year campus in 2 years to either end in-person instructions or just shut completely.
Oh, dear.
Now, and at El Verno College in Milwaukee, that's a private school, the number of undergrad majors will be dropping from 43 down to 29, which is going to force layoffs there. But the school does plan to continue to educate all existing undergrads, even if their major is one that's going to be cut. Now, the decision by the UW Oshkosh spurned big criticism from Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson. He's a former lawmaker, but he also ripped UW President Joe Rothman. Nelson said if Levitt and Rothman had read the child's book, quote, "All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten," they would understand the importance of playing fair, taking responsibility, saying sorry when mistakes were made, and putting things back as they were found. Mm. Now, instead, Levitt and Rothman let down the students and families of UW Oshkosh, their Fox City's campus, and betrayed their trust. And now it'll be up to the rest of us to clean up this mess. Shame on you, said Nelson. Hmm. This is a tough deal, especially, you know, we have one right here in Wausau, UW-Marathon County.
We do.
Which is in that same pond as UW Oshkosh, the Fox Cities, and the other ones that are basically colleges that help get you the credits to be able to transfer it, maybe, if you want to continue education, or at least get an education that can at least get them into, you know, better jobs. Now, I'm not saying that college is the only answer to finding, you know, employment in life.
Mm-hmm.
It helps. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, it does. Absolutely.
And I'm not, I'm never,
I would never have gotten this job if I hadn't gone to college at Stevens Point for 7 years.
Right. Well, I never went to college myself.
Well, college is not for everybody.
It wasn't for me because of the fact that in my situation growing up, I didn't have a family that was just rolling in dough. And I was also the youngest of the family, youngest of three kids. And I went off on my own and went to not a college, but a tech school, you could maybe call it. But something I wouldn't recommend to anybody wanting to get into this business. But I did that because it was the only option I had. And it was the name of the for-profit, quote-unquote, education was called the Institute of Broadcast Arts. And it was in Milwaukee. And it was actually located up on the second floor above a beauty parlor.
Okay.
They had some studios that they had built, control boards, and they basically taught you the basics of radio broadcasting.
All right.
Now, during high school, I took classes in journalism,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I took advanced speech. So as far as getting up in front of a crowd or to speak publicly is not something that spooks me out. In fact, I relish it. I enjoy it.
I've gotten used to doing it because I'm an actor, you know, being on a stage in front of people, but I still get a little nervous about it.
Oh, sure.
I mean, everybody gets nervous when they go up in front of a crowd. I mean, that's not uncommon. It's okay to feel like that.
What you do
with those nerves that matters.
Yeah, one thing that I always give my high school that I graduated from, South Milwaukee High School, that your first year in senior high school, being your sophomore year, a required subject, by the way. It wasn't, you know, you couldn't ignore it. You had to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Was speech.
That's right.
I haven't sent kids to school, and I never had kids of my own. I don't even know if they do that anymore in high school. I know civics is a subject that just basically disappeared, where people could, you know, learn about what it takes to be a citizen, you know, be alert on things like that.
There's a lot of classes that have kind of been pushed aside over.
Retooled?
Yeah, retooled, restructured, yeah.
Well, you know, the speech course I took when I was in 10th grade, a sophomore in high school, which, again, was required.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought that was, this is great. This is exactly, I wanted to do this. I mean, when I was a grade schooler, I wanted to be in radio. I mean, I was one of the, you know, few kids that had an idea. You know, I want to be a fireman, or I want to be an astronaut. Or, okay, you know, cool, good luck. But I really wanted to be in broadcasting, even, you know, as a grade schooler. I used to record radio stations and playbacks, you know, and I would call the disc jockeys, and then there would be a few that were really nice to me, knowing that I wasn't some cranky little kid. I actually was interested in this profession. Well, be that as it may, that speech class was just a breeze for me to get through. So what did I do with junior? I took advanced speech. And then my senior year, I took theater performance and production.
Nice.
And this was in high school, you know, days. But I didn't have the opportunity to go to college. Couldn't afford it. But I was working for, you know, myself. And this Institute of Broadcast Arts was my in to at least teach me the basics. And then I just went out and knocked on doors and found a place that gave me a job. And off we went. I wouldn't recommend that on anybody. I love higher education. I love giving the opportunity for young people to move forward. The scholarship that has my wife's name attached to it, that we have been doing, and we're doing it now more on a behind-the-scenes setting. This is something that when we, you know, we both decided that would be important to pay forward, try to give a student an opportunity to either go for further education or go into a trade type of a learning type of a setup. There's no set. There's no set incidents or no set way of doing things. You get to point B from point A sometimes different ways.
That's right.
And so when I see these stories where education is just basically being put on the budget burner, where we can't do this because we can't, you don't have the money, we don't have the, and it leaves sometimes people out there. And you also, then you have that, the back end, where now you have employers who are looking for educated people to do things, maybe a higher level type of an expertise than what you can learn by street cred. And the next thing you know, those people who would love to be a part of your business are looking at the state of Wisconsin and the deteriorating advantages of the schooling in this state. We're slipping away. Later on this week, I'm hopefully going to be chatting with a couple of lawmakers out of Madison, and we're going to be discussing this topic particularly. I just wanted to bring it up today to kind of like set the table.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's one of those things that I just wish. I wish that the attitudes of a lot of people would realize that this is something that's positive. This is an investment to the future of our state.
Indeed.
And future for our nation.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can't harp it enough. You know, I wish I had that opportunity. When I was at that age, I really, you know, I wasn't going to get a football scholarship. I wasn't that good, you know, but it's like, you know, you find your little ways and nooks and crannies. I read a lot. I try to learn a lot. I've taken, you know, Dale Carnegie leadership, managerial, you know, teachings and that through my, you know, career, always trying to improve myself so I can get better at what I'm doing. And that, I think, for the most part, a lot of people have that feeling, too. They want to be all that they can be, to coin the old phrase from the military, you know, be all you can be.
Yeah.
But that is, I think, for the vast majority of people, that's in your heart. That's in your soul. That's in what makes you tick. You want to do that. You want to try to push the envelope a little bit. So I just wanted to read that little, have you think about it.
Yeah.
We'll maybe get into that discussion later on this week with some folks who debate this problem, who present the facts as they are and say, hey, we're letting opportunity and the investment of our future workforce slip away because we're going to save a a buck or two, or the price of it is not compatible. Mm. I mean, if they start saying, well, gee, food is too high, you just have to stop eating. You gonna do that?
Jeez. So I hope not.
You got to think. You got to think ahead.
You really do.
Not just tomorrow. I'm talking about years. You want things to be there for those
future generations.
Give them that opportunity. Give them the shot that they can make things happen their way. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're able to do our little closing segment coming up here. We're going to talk about it being a big sports night tonight. Coming up after we take a little break, as you're listening to Chad Holmes Show. I'm Bob Look, sitting in for Chad here on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Chad Holmes Show. My name's Bob Look, sitting in for Chad. Here in Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, sitting in for the weekend anyway. And Chad, hopefully he'll be back next week Monday, all refreshed and feeling good about himself and all that kind of good stuff. But anyway, 715-382-9297 is our phone number. You can text or you can call it anytime during the program. Ian Welsh, of course, alongside. He's handling all the production value and that. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. How do you like the music?
I really like the music. I mean,
it's different.
I mean, it brings back
memories,
nostalgic feeling, because this is the type of music that my dad listens to, and just hearing it every once in a while, it really.
Well, that really kind of happens music. When you're.
It makes you feel good. It makes you feel happy. It just. I really like the music.
I'm sure there could be a lot of people who are like 30 and under going, what the heck is that? Well, I'm sorry.
Well, I was born in the middle of the 90s. I was born in 1994. So I was on the cusp between the older generation and kind of the newer generation were kind of, changing. Like,
well,
I was born in a time where social media, I wasn't even around yet, where we actually played outside with people for hours on end. Went for bike rides, we went to the park, or we went to the swimming pool.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good physical
activity.
It's not even
we still have those. It's just,
I know.
You know.
Well, in fact, I'm going to talk a little sports here, because this is a Monday during the middle of the summer, because we are in the summer now. As it became summer over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a big sports night tonight. Well, the Brewers are opening up a series at home. Well, that's not a big. That's one of 162 games, okay? But we do have the college baseball championship game.
Nice.
Being decided tonight as Texas A&M and University of Tennessee, the Volunteers, we'll face off tonight here in Game 3. Texas A&M had won Game 1. Tennessee bounced back and won yesterday to force a third game. Huh. That's going to be played in Omaha, Nebraska at that beautiful ballpark that's excellent for the college tournament. So that's coming up tonight. And also, you got the dramatic of the dramatic. You got Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Ooh. Tonight in the National Hockey League, the Stanley Cup will come out of its container and will be seen. I've seen the Stanley Cup twice. I've never gotten near it to touch it. I've just looked at it from afar. And some of my friends, well, geez, you're so involved with hockey. How did you, like put your hand? No, that trophy doesn't belong to me. I had nothing to do with any kind of it. To me, it's sacred.
Exactly. It's like the Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah. Same thing. I have nothing to do with them winning it. So I don't feel I deserve to touch it. Anyway, it's going to be the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers tonight. And the Florida Panthers won the first three games of that best of seven series.
Wow.
Everyone started saying, this is over. So Edmonton wins game four. Okay, well, Florida, they'll get back on. Boom. Edmonton wins again. And then game six. They still, 3-2 advantage. Boom. Oilers win game six. So now we're down to one game.
Wow.
Pressure. And the cool thing about hockey is that if they're tied at regulation, it doesn't matter how long it's going to take. The first goal after being tied after regulation wins it. And I have watched hockey games that have gone into third, fourth overtimes, basically paying over two and a half games just to decide a game. That could happen tonight. We could be watching hockey till 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And guess what? If that happens, I'm really going to be worthless tomorrow morning. I'm going to want to sleep. But that's happening tonight. And the Edmonton Oilers have one University of Wisconsin player, Dylan Holloway. He's on the roster there. So I have to pick Edmonton or cheer for them because they have a Badger player on it.
Nice.
If the Panthers would have put a Wisconsin player on there, then I would have, flipped a coin. I always want to see my Badger buddies, do well. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you got the College World Series being decided tonight. The National Hockey League, Oilers and Panthers. Even if you're not a fan, folks, check it out. Just check it out because the effort is always going to be there. And I hope it's a good game. That's what I hope more. I really hope there's no blowout, where a team jumps out to like a 4-5 goal lead. But it could happen.
You never know with these games.
It can happen, but we'll see what happens tonight. Anyway, we want to thank Ian for pushing the buttons and that. Again, tomorrow's show, we will be talking to the public address announcer for Lambeau Field. Lambeau Field. It's Bill Jartz. He'll be joining us on the program. And Bill's a cool guy. I think you folks are going to enjoy our visit. We'll be doing that during tomorrow's program. And anything other that I could dream up by then, who knows? We'll figure something out. Again, we'll keep our eye on a few things that are happening and not happening in state government. We'll do that. And we know, the debate is scheduled for Thursday.
Yeah.
You notice I've stayed away from it today because there's going to be plenty of talk as we get closer.
It's probably going to be like the top story on all the national news networks.
See, I gave you a radio show that didn't give you the same old show.
Wasn't that nice to have a little taste of something different, people?
Thank you. You're welcome, everybody. Hey, have a great Monday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Happy Monday, everybody.